Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pitch Please, the podcast where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. Isn't that right, Tom?
It is right, Alex. And today we've got our regular developers, Christopher.
Hi, I'm Brunch Club developer and America's Next Top Model, Chris Yules.
I feel like we've had that one before.
I'm pretty sure.
Have I already looped? Have I already ran out of original
ideas?
Yeah,
you've run out of ideas.
I'm South America's next top model.
And also, we've got James.
Hello, I'm James.
You two should harmonize.
This makes it hard to do this intro.
Sorry.
Purposefully winding me up. I'm James, one of the two devs working on Drink More Glurp.
Oh, if only I didn't sing such a tuneful tune, you would have had that perfect.
You nailed those notes.
Oh, thank you.
You know what, Tom? I'm feeling pretty good about this core team of pitchers.
No offense, anyone else has joined us. The hell?
Well, no, I just feel like having the four of us now, like I get we don't have a guest this week, and that's quite uncommon for what we've had recently. We've had a lot of guests recently.
Yeah.
But I don't think we need him anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck him. That's what I'm saying. No more guests.
Let's hope when we reach out to more guests that they don't listen to this episode.
They haven't heard this one.
Yeah. Fuck you. Assuming this makes it into the episode.
It will.
James, before we start, you've got a game coming up, like, I don't know, some point this year. You're working on something. How's it going? How's Glurp doing for you?
Oh, it's all lovely. Yeah. We've submitted another build to Nintendo, lot check. Woo! So hopefully that goes through.
Nice.
We're doing a demo.
Is that a big process? Do you have to keep
Steam Summer
demo?
Festival, Game Festival? But, you know, that'll just be a little taster to whet the whistles before we come out in summer.
whet whistles.
This probably will be going out around that time, actually. I think. So, yeah. Well, I don't know. If the demo's available, try it.
Try
it's
it.
Great.
Yeah, it's really, really fun.
It's a great part. If you were going to pitch Drink More Glurp on this episode, say if it didn't exist.
Oh, that's a good
what
idea.
What would you say?
Yeah.
He doesn't know. Now you're putting me on the spot.
No idea. What is your game?
What's really good for audio podcasts is just silence, James. It's perfect. Yeah.
Elevator pitch, Drink More Glurp.
Yeah, I mean, we were always saying it's the...
that so, yeah, thing you were always like, saying. Oh, we've said it so much that I can't
like
remember what we always said.
Yeah, a race of... What is it? Yeah,
you know what we say about Clip.
A race of aliens have detected broadcasts of our Olympic Games. They've tried to copy it, but they've got it all slightly wrong. They think it's more about the sponsors than the events themselves.
Yeah.
So as you play, sponsors will come in and start messing with the gameplay. So yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell. Silly aliens, silly controls, nice and colourful, nice and simple.
Yeah. Loads of modifiers.
Very colourful.
Loads of modifiers.
Yeah, loads of modifiers.
Loads of events, all randomised, so it's like thousands
and that's,
of combinations.
That's the thing that you guys always say. That really catchy, that whole sentence you just said, as you always
that's
say.
That's a tagline.
That's it.
That's a tagline. Nightmare to fit on.
Chris,
the,
would you make that?
No, James is.
Oh, good. Perfect. All right, well, thanks for watching the pitch,
it?
Please.
No, if I was asked again, would I make this? No, I would. I would make it again.
Good. I should hope so.
So yeah, demo probably out now. If it is, please go play it. It's fucking great. If it's not, sorry about
wish
that.
Wish list it. I'm sure
it'll be out at some point.
Yeah, wish list it. That's a good point, Tom. Please wish list it. Tom, also speaking of your name, reminds me we've got a pitch, right? We're on a podcast where you give a pitch.
Tom is also here.
Yeah, I forgot we were doing this podcast for a second. I was talking about the game.
Okay. I've got an idea.
What have you got? It's been a while. I think it has been a little while.
It's been 2 weeks. So this idea.
Let's hear it.
So if I start with sort of the games I'm mushing together to make this one, and then I'll go deep into it. So,
please.
Papers, Please is the first idea. And the second idea, I kind of want to say Cooking Mama, but not quite.
Okay.
Now, I'm thinking you own an apothecary, so you're a potion seller. And you, and the people are coming in who require your finest potions. And basically, the Cooking Mama aspect is the potion making, right? Where you've got all these different ingredients. You've got Eye of Newt. You've got sage. You've got onion. You've got all these different things that you throw into a pot to make
the three
potions.
The three cuts. The three pillars of apothecary.
Those three
magical ingredients I can think of.
Sage
and a red onion. It sounds like you put some sausage in that. You've just got dinner.
I've got
Is the game called Scarborough Fair?
Sage, onion, and sausage.
It's like this morning thing. If this potion had Eye of Newt in it, it'd be a fantasy potion. Well, if my mother had an extra wheel, she'd be a bicycle.
Oh, my mother had wheels, she'd be a bicycle.
So potion making in a kind of Cooking Mama aspect, you mix the potion. Potion Mama.
Could you explain cooking? Because I know a lot about Cooking Mama, but I've not actually played, or I know I've heard of Cooking Mama a lot, but I've not really played it.
I know the controversy.
How does it work?
Not the game.
There's a controversy around Cooking Mama.
Yeah, the new stuff, one like, that was released, and it had like blockchain, I don't know, some stuff like that. And then they got pulled.
I don't even know what
that
is.
They pulled it from the Nintendo store.
Really?
Yeah, and then I think wasn't it the devs didn't know it was being released yet, or was that another game?
Oh yeah, no, that was
game that.
It was. I think it was.
The publishers just released it.
The publishers just released it, and it wasn't finished.
But there was another thing where it was doing stuff with people's, like, I don't know,
data. Okay. Cooking Mama is a game that that tries to sell the consumer's data. No, it's a game where you have. It's just a series of mini games, right? Where at the start of the game you pick. Oh, I want to make spaghetti bolognese, and then it says it goes through step by step. Okay, we're gonna, you know, put the spaghetti through that weird grinder thing, we're gonna mash up all the mince, we're gonna fry it up, and the frying up is literally you just sort of cycle it in circles, and you do it for the right amount of time, and it comes out perfect. Or and when you get all the perfect ingredients, they then say even better than mama, and you've made a really nice spaghetti bolognese. And you can do that for tons and tons of different ingredients. It's fun. It's not super in depth, but it's fun. I like it. So when I'm thinking in potion making, you know, you have to put the right amount of ingredients in. You have to pour like the right amount of ground up goblin nails in there stuff like that. You know, that fantasy ingredient.
Goblin nails. There we go. That's goblin more. That's nails. Better than onion, right?
Yeah, phoenix feather, and the rarest ingredient of all, salt. That's the potion making aspect of it. The Papers, Please aspect of it is when you go to the front of shop, you're at the counter, kind of like Cook Serve Delicious, I guess, as
kind
well.
Kind of like Shopkeep.
And Shopkeep, yeah. Where you go to the front of the shop and...
No, I wouldn't say Overcooked.
Okay.
No, but people come to come to you and they say,
idiot.
Hey, I want to buy, or I want you to make for me a love potion. Or I want you to make for me something that will make me stronger. Or I want you to make for me something that, I don't know, makes me smarter or whatever. And you talk to these people and say the love potion one, for example. This might get a bit dark, but the love potion one. Someone comes in and says, I want you to make a love potion for me because there's this girl who I really, really like, but she doesn't like me. love potion will fix that, or whatever. And then you're like, okay, we'll see about making this love potion. We'll see we'll think about it.
Fuck. I'm calling the police.
But he's like, I'll give you like 400 gold for it. And you're like, well, that's a lot of money. And then later on, the girl comes in and she's like, I'm about to get married to the man of my dreams. And you're like, okay, I don't want to mess up this whole thing. So that's where the papers, please aspect comes in, where there's people that have got their little stories, their moral choices. Yeah. Chris, you've got a kind of angry, confused face.
No, I started laughing a lot at what I was imagining your idea was, because it sounded like to me that you've basically just created like a fantasy Boots pharmacy where people come in for prescriptions and the love potion is just like Viagra, right? Like, like you've come in, like, I need this piece. Yeah, come back in an hour. I'll have that ready for you. And you're like, do you want this? Repeat? Yeah, every Tuesday. Come back and I'll give you this.
Well, like, maybe there are like, repeat that's what you've made. But like, but it's a fantasy game. Like, it's fantasy.
I know, but it just made me laugh that like you've just sort of made a fantasy like,
But also, you run the shop. You decide who your customers are, right? Like, whereas in Boots, they have to give you it.
Right, yeah. And can you make them queue? Do you have to make them queue for the prescription? Like, they wait 20 minutes, where you have to search through, like...
I really like the fantasy Boots thing. Because, like, if someone comes to you and says, I need this, and they're like, they'll be like, I need it by, you know, tomorrow. Then you have to go back. You have to order in the ingredients you don't have. You have to spend money and make sure it doesn't go over the amount.
I really want there to be sort of a TripAdvisor type five-star rating system, review system. So you've got to balance trying to get the good reviews, and then if someone badmouths you, you can go on to the Fantasy Boots net and like reply saying,
I don't think it's going to be 20 different potion sellers in this one town.
Swing. Okay, before we get too carried away with ballooning it too much, shall we go back to the core of it?
Okay, and all right. So
making the potions, right? The apothecary stuff.
So shop seller does it in a way. Shop seller does it in a particular way where you have to go to the back of the shop in between. Like the sale times when the shop is closed, you can go to the back of the shop and you can say, right, tomorrow I want there to be 10 swords. I want there to be 20 healing potions. I want there to be, you know, all these different things. I feel like with shopkeep, you're kind of trying to buy stuff in advance because people are going to buy them. Whereas in this one, it's kind of the opposite, where I think people make their requests and then you sort of go to the back of the shop and you say, right, I'm going to need these things for this thing.
I think there should be regular, like you said, with shopkeep, you know things are going to buy it. So you could have, like, you know, whatever a fantasy paracetamol is. Everyone needs that, right?
Just everyone wants potion,
So you get the regular stuff in. You get the your mana potions and your healing potions in.
Yeah, and you then know the stuff that you're going to need them. You can make based on orders as well. So if someone comes in and makes a request, then you can go back and then order those things. But it's also, I think where this is where the papers please stuff comes in. I think there's a lot of people that can come in and say, you know, maybe someone comes in, they're an assassin, right? You know they're an assassin. They're like, I need a stealth potion.
They forged their prescription. That's the papers please aspect, right? So you get a prescription on the desk and you have to check the date of birth, the picture, the doctor's signature.
Taking from papers please was literally the moral choices of the stories that come in, not the verification stuff. Hey,
you need to check this stuff. Someone could walk out with someone else's prescription.
Death potion. Yes, you need that. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, a poison.
Here you go. Why do we even have those? I don't know.
Or maybe like the some kind of messenger from the king comes in. He's like, right, the kingdom is going to go to war and we're going to recruit you as the royal potion maker, right? Or the royal apothecary. Okay. And you're like, right, you need to make tons and tons and tons of potions for the military so they can go out to war. Right.
I've got the name.
And if you don't, then you've got some mega downsides. If you do, then you become, then this takes you on a whole different path where you're then forced to make hundreds of these things.
So the stuff that you're talking about makes me think a little bit of, have you played Yes, Your Grace?
No.
So the way that works is, I really, really enjoyed that game. And basically you just play That has a papers, please element as well, where you're a king who ruling over your kingdom, and the majority of the game takes place where you sit on your throne. Peasants and other people who populate your kingdom come up to you and request things, and you can say, a peasant will come up and be like, "Oh, our village is being ravaged by this weird goblin who's like running around and stealing all of our food. Can you help us?" And you can decide whether to or not, and that will have impact later on in the game.
Okay.
And what you have is you have resources there's like gold and food and all that kind of stuff, but also you have resources in the form of certain people that you hire. So you have like your captain of the guard or a witch, and you can send them out and be like, okay, so there's a weird creature that that is haunting the woods. I'm going to send the witch out to deal with that. So could that work? Like, what I was thinking of is maybe if there are certain requests for rare potions, or potions with rare ingredients, would you then have to put in orders for people to go and get this stuff? And that would cost more for you to get the ingredients, perhaps.
So you'd have to send an adventurer out to go raid the cave that only has these special mushrooms in.
I feel like Shopkeep does that.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you can hire adventurers to go out to like dungeons, and they can die, but you equip them with stuff that you buy to get these ingredients for you, and they can come back and then it'll be like, "Oh, I picked up like 20 iron ore," and you're like, "Sweet, okay, I'll either smelt that into swords myself or put it into the shop." But maybe there's certain people with requests that come in. Maybe a witch comes in and is like, "Oh, I need you to make this potion for me." I feel like the witch could probably make it herself, but whatever. But she, or maybe like a herbalist, a right?
Maybe
a herbalist
she's
comes
stone
in,
or something.
Okay. Yeah, you know, something like that.
How does she
free
do
them,
an order?
Her
husband's with her.
Yeah,
just talking her in on
a... I need a potion.
It's like a stone witch in a wheelbarrow, and her husband comes in and is like, "Hey, fix this. If you do, she'll be able to get you like more ingredients for free, where normally you'd have to pay for them." Or a herbalist, or maybe there's an adventurer that comes in, you give him a strength potion, he's like, "Okay, from now on, I'll go find stuff for you."
There needs to be a choice for that, though. If you help someone, there should be that should be the moral decision, right? So, like, maybe they're an assassin who can get you stuff, but if the law find out that you've healed them, then you can get in trouble that way. There needs to be a pro and con. Otherwise, otherwise you'll always just get benefits. There
I
needs
think
to be
like
that
isn't that
can
what
take
Tom's
away
saying
that.
About like the moral implications of the story? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
That should
be where the moral. Yeah. Side rests because that's
yeah,
where
that's
you
what
get,
I mean. I feel like
you get a bad or good thing.
An adventurer who's only going to be moral. He's a good guy. Like a paladin comes in and is like, "Hey, I'm gonna. If you help me, then you know I'll be able to get you ogre teeth or cyclops eyes or like these things that he goes out and kills." And he's like, "Oh, I've got these to spare. An onion, some salt,
sage,
and he can get those for you." That's like an early game thing where it's like, you help this guy, he'll get you ingredients free. Then later on, the assassin comes in and he's like, "If you do this, I'll be able to get you king's hair."
Well, no, but they would
like, "Where'd you get the king's hair from?"
They would have like their own like unique thing. So like an assassin or like a monster hunter would be able to get you monster parts.
Yeah.
And like, you know,
well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
There's like the adventurer is like, "Yeah, you help this guy. He only helps you if you help him." But then later on, this guy can supply noble's blood because he's an assassin. And you think, if I help him, I'll be able to get these rare ingredients like really easily.
Yeah.
However, he's also an assassin, and that could open up different.
But you don't want to piss off the assassin. You don't want him coming back later being like.
Great though, because I feel like you could give someone the, like you say, for example, the love. We need to think of something other better than a love potion. But like the idea of like one of the first things that you have when someone comes in, you give them a choice. That is a moral choice, basically. But then you make it a lot more beneficial to pick the bad guy route.
Yeah.
And then later on, the way to fix it is to create another potion, but with very rare ingredients, like the noble's blood. And you then have to do something bad to do something good.
Or maybe even like two people come in to the shop. One person comes in and he's like, "Hey, I've got this duel later on and I really want to win it. Can you make a potion for me?" And he has like his little story and you turn to talk to him and you like think, okay, yeah, he seems like a decent guy. But then the other guy comes in, he's like, "Hey, I've got a duel later." And then he says his story and you're actually like, okay, now which one of these do I actually want to support? Or maybe you could just, I guess you could just not support either. And then
I feel like we need a placebo potion. So you satisfy both tasks, but you give someone just a bottle of water.
Yeah, maybe like a kid comes in
super strong.
A kid comes in and is like, oh, I need to finish my fantasy exam. And you're like, okay, I'll give you an intelligence potion. And then he comes in and is like, thank you for your intelligence potion. You're like, it wasn't intelligence potion. The smartness was in you all along.
In you the whole time.
And then he smashes the phrase. Out of anger.
Yeah. I'm smart enough
Chris,
to never come back here.
You've got
some
kind of point.
You have some kind of point. I had two things. One was earlier when Tom said maybe if you just make potions for like the military for war purposes, the first thing that came into my head was just the word harmacist, and I really enjoyed that quite a lot.
Okay. And then we'll pin
the
that
second
one.
Point. We'll shelve that for now. The second point was, in my head, I imagine the potion, like, so I imagine the shop gameplay is similar to Shopkeep, where you stock shelves and you order stuff. But I imagine the potion making, like cooking simulator, where you have to, you manually like cut and you can decide how much you want to, like how much water you want to take out, liquids put in, like how much of a pinch or something. And you have all your ingredients in these little like shelves. And I think that was quite a good way of doing it as well. Like you could expand your organizational shelves, but they cost a lot. So you have to sell a lot of potions, which means you need to sell more.
Did you ever play Kingdom Come Deliverance?
Yes.
They have like a, I know that's 3D first person, but they have like an alchemy.
Also Shopkeep.
Like her brewing. I've not played Shopkeep. But the brewing mini game in that is very much like, you have to put in a pinch of this and a pinch of that, and you have to put the right combinations of stuff, and you have like the bellows that you have to pull at the right time. Yeah. And depending on how long you let something boil for, that will cause it to spoil or to be better or whatever.
But that happens in Cooking Sim, right?
Is it all those kind of elements?
As long, if you nail the proportions of the meal, you get a higher rating. Yeah. So with this, it would just be potency. So the closer it is to its like initial ingredient list, the higher the potency of it might be. But then we could reward people for experimenting. Like you go, oh, you added in this. Well, actually, that gives it an extra thing. And so you've learned a new...
Like
in Skyrim, where you can find out extra buffs of certain ingredients.
I know it's strange for me to say that I have a problem with my own idea, right? but I think if you have, you make 20 healing potions, you put it in the stand in the shop, and then, you know, 20 people buy them and you've made a profit, then that's literally Shopkeep, right? But then also if you go for the you know, two people come in, they've got a request, the other person has a request, you choose which one to support, but then you go to the back of the shop and you start cooking mama style or cooking sim style, making the potions. I feel like it's almost like a gap of time that could easily just be compressed down to you buy the ingredients, you make it. And then it focuses solely on the decision-making thing. It's weird. It's like it doesn't feel like it needs to be there, unless there are some people that are like, this guy wants this potion, then another guy comes in and says, I want you to spoil it slightly, or I want you to make at 50% efficiency. So the guy is like happy, he's got the potion, but the other guy is also satisfied because it's not as potent as it should be. So maybe there's also requirements.
So you think there should be less focus on resource management in the game?
I think
like
the resource
sure
management,
you have the correct ingredients.
Not necessarily that. I think that it's a weird thing where it's like you've got the moral choices and then you go to the back of the shop and it's like, okay, now I'm making a potion, but why am I... Like once you commit to making a potion...
You might say, why am I making a potion? You're a potion maker. Right.
No, I mean, once you commit to a choice in a moral thing, the 5 minutes it takes to make the potion feels like just a gap of time that is just like, right, yeah, I mean, I'm just point. Making it. So that's why I'm saying maybe there are people that come in and say, I want you to make this potion. I need it to be 100% efficiency. Or I want you to make this potion. I need it to be, I need to have this ingredient in it, but this ingredient normally would spoil the potion, but I need this ingredient in there for whatever reason.
So, so in that case, do you maybe, could you spice that up a little bit by making it so that you're not just fulfilling basic orders. You're not just like, you never create the same potion twice. Every request you have is something slightly new and slightly different. so that you're having to really think about what you're making rather than just, oh, I've got to make more magic paracetamol. Here's 10 more batches.
What about if you always have to make the first instance of it? So after that, you can just go craft. Like, you can just click the craft button. But if it's a new recipe or if you're trying to learn something new, you have to do it once. Like, you have to just... Because then you've gained the understanding of how to do the recipe, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, I always feel like I can't help but think about some sort of progression. Is there going to be, do you have one cauldron to start with, a little one, and you can make maybe one or two potions at worth out of a single batch? And then as you progress, you get the bigger cauldron or you get six cauldrons, and then you make a big batch of a potion, and then you can just stack it in the back and you can go, okay, yeah, I've got my 10 potions ready to go. If someone comes in, it's like, yeah, I know I've got this. It's only an 80%, but it would do. Or do you see it more being a case of a one-on-one sort of, I want this potion, you go and make it. Is that sort of what you're imagining more?
Yeah, I think it's the other way around to shopkeep, where you're not stacking in prep for customers to come in. You're making stuff on demand.
You are so people come in and seller.
You're a bespoke service.
A bespoke potion seller.
Did you get the idea for this from that video? Is that where it's came from?
No. He went to Boots and he went to pick up his prescription and he was just listening to a Lord of the Rings soundtrack.
I went to the counter and said,
and for some reason they were as well.
Require your finest stock, wench.
They're taking the bullets to super drug.
And that's why I'm never allowed in
Boots. He was just
yeah. And then I was kicked out and I thought, this is bullshit. I need a love potion.
I feel like
blue pill. Give me that. It's a love potion.
What this game definitely needs is the sort of theme hospital style. Someone comes in with a gigantic head and it's like,
it needs the comedy.
I've got gigantic.
Oh, like weird stuff going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, could that be something? Yeah, so they don't know what they are requesting. They just know what's wrong with them and they want your help. So then you have to then figure out what might help them, like what potion you might need to make that will cure this.
And you can keep trying.
Not for every person that comes in, but...
keep making different potions. Made his head they drink head even it bigger. On the spot and then their head gets smaller, but then their legs expand and you're like, okay, right, I've got a thing for that.
Oh, God.
I've got a leg shrinker potion. I'll go and make that. Come back and then their arm's off and you're like...
I mean, how did this happen? He just fell off.
God, this would be so difficult to do, but if every single ingredient had some kind of, like, you never know the effects of them. Maybe it's randomized every game. But like someone asks for example, something to make them stronger. And you think, you're like, okay, I know that these sorts of ingredients will make a strength potion, and you give it to him. And then it's like, yeah, his leg falls off and you're like, oh, okay, what caused that? And then someone else comes in with a love, a strength potion.
What is your obsession with love? Is everything okay, Tom?
Oh, I'm lonely. Right.
Love potions all the time.
But then every single one you make has a different effect. Like this warrior's now blue and you're like, whoa, why'd that happen? So you make another
strength
potion.
You're super strong, but you're also blind now. So good luck.
Lesson learned.
Maybe eventually you get to a point where you're making the perfect strength potion, but it takes like so many iterations and so many warriors. I don't know why you wouldn't just be shut down after the first potion, but
but it's not regulated, is it? It's a fantasy world. You're a soul shop. There's no government regulations.
You can be like, this has gone wrong. You pull a lever and a trapdoor opens and they fall and they just out. And it's like, no
it's
warrior
just a
came
pit
in
of fallen experiments.
Okay, so that was like Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
But I really feel like that what you were talking about initially, Tom, like focusing on the one-on-one element of someone coming in, having a personal dilemma that you then have to decide how or if you're going to help them.
Yeah.
I think, and then that somehow pays off or doesn't pay off later on.
I think in terms of the progression as well.
Before progression, I would say... just tell us the loop. What's the loop? Customer comes in, then what? Go.
So customer comes in, they have a request, or maybe two customers come in, or maybe you have a day.
X amount of customers come in.
Maybe you have like a day where customers come in, they say, right, by tomorrow I want this thing, by next week I want this thing, by, you know, next month I want this thing, whatever. And you have a log of requests. And you're like, right, this is the deadline for this one. these are the requests. These are the counter requests as well. Maybe there's like someone, you know, like for example, the dual thing. I want a strength potion. No, I want a strength potion. And you, at the end of the day, you then go through, you're like, right, by this time I need this thing. It's kind of that, I think there's quite a strict inventory management where you're like, I want this ingredient. It's going to take a week to get here, but I have this amount of money. I do want to complete this request, but I could also buy 20 of this thing and I can complete 3 requests and they'll appear by tomorrow. So you kind of have to like stack up a calendar of like deadlines versus stock requirements versus the time it takes to get the requirements and how much money you have. And then after that, you then say, right, I'm going to make this potion. Maybe there's some downsides. Maybe there's some positives to the potions you make. Maybe someone comes in and is like, you know, I want it to be 100% effective. I want it to be 50%, whatever. And then as time goes on, you gain more money for the requests you complete. You also potentially gain some perks from certain people if you help them. Like you help a warrior, he can get high-end monster ingredients for you quicker or cheaper.
Yes.
And that allows you to complete more requests. So that's kind of the loop, I suppose, is that you gain reputation with certain people, you help out different people. There's the moral compass of helping out certain other people and eventually making your shop better and better. I don't think there should be a point where you upgrade your cauldron so you can make more, because I feel like in a sense that might lock people out of certain requests. Like someone comes in with a really cool request and you're like, I simply can't do it. I feel like that kind of sucks it, because then you're just then, like, I wish I could do that story.
You can scale those requests though, with progression.
You're not triggering certain events based on your progression in the game. Like if there is some kind of narrative to it.
Until this cauldron is unlocked.
Like, for example, the assassin who wants to murder the king or wants to murder the noble or something is not going to come in until late game once you've, or later in the game once you've already kind of, like when you need that moral test to happen.
I think if you do it based on how well you're progressing, then it kind of feels like the difficulty curve is non-existent, because then it feels like everything is passable, right? Like if someone comes in at just the right time that you're able to succeed it, it's kind of like, again, I know we reference it a lot, it's kind of like XCOM, where you know the game difficulty progresses the game difficulty progresses regardless of your progress, right? Like you need to be ahead of the difficulty curve, otherwise the game is going to surpass you until it's unwinnable. I feel like that's kind of the thing where you either, it is also a counter to the point that I said that I don't want certain stories to be locked out to you.
Yeah, but I think it works perfectly in this.
That is quite, because again, that like,
of course you're punished for getting the right things.
Going back to Yes, Your Grace again, there is a similar mechanic there with XCOM in that you have, basically you learn very quickly that there's another kingdom is coming to attack you. There's a war that's going to happen in a certain amount of weeks. Mm-hmm. And the gameplay loop in Yes, Your Grace is one week basically to do all your stuff. And you have to try and, you know, you have to try and recruit people for your army, please your kingdom, keep a decent level of gold and resources and troops and whatever in time for that battle to happen.
Right. Okay.
Every week that goes by, you're getting closer to this thing happening. Similar in XCOM, right? When you have the big event, I can't remember what it's called, the big event that's going to happen, the countdown at the top.
The Avatar project,
That's it, yeah. And so is there something similar with this that could be applied? Is that what you're thinking?
Maybe every morning you go outside and there's like the town crier and he's like,
sobbing.
Taxes. Yeah, he's just crying. Taxes on ogre teeth up 20%. And that's how you find out about different things. And you're like, oh, what the fuck? I was about to buy like 10 ogre teeth. Or maybe like they say like, oh, the kingdom of New Kingdonia is getting a load of soldiers ready. And you're like, wait, New Kingdonia, isn't that our enemy? And you're like, oh shit, maybe I need to stock up. Maybe you can make potions in advance. Maybe, but it's not to sell in like a general store setting. It's almost in stock for you when the events happen.
And you could
waste a load of money and like make a load of, you know, healing potions. Maybe war never comes around and you're like, oh, I've got a load of healing potions. They're going to spoil. potentially. I don't know.
Which again, that's something that you can do in XCOM, like is and in Yes, Your Grace, where you're collecting these resources, and it's that thing of like in any kind of adventure game or any game where you have like potions or whatever, where you're like, I've got my inventory is just fucking full of these, but I might bump into a boss any second, so I'm going to save them.
That's the risk reward factor that works well.
Well, that's right? What I mean. I think that's a good thing to have.
I've made these, which means I've got to wait a couple of extra days for some ingredients. Hopefully no one comes in requiring something. I need this. But when something big happens, I know that these are going to be the thing that people are after. You could have big events that go off. Like you could have war broke out in Kingdom Over. And then over the next couple of days, like you need to send out, you have a month to send out 200 health potions. Mm. Like you have to fulfill an order over time.
Yeah. And I think in those mega scale events as well, I think, I don't think it's necessarily possible to fulfill the 200, but you do get a reward. If you do 20 potions, you get this much. If you do 50, you get even more.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a reputation system. Maybe the higher the reputation you have with the king, the more orders he has with you specifically. And eventually at the end of the game, maybe you find yourself,
what's the end though?
Well, that's where you could find yourself as the personal apothecary to the king, or maybe you are sole potion maker to the Assassin's Guild, or, maybe you've amassed such a group of people together that you become like the fucking sole potion maker of the town. Or I don't know.
I feel like this is where it gets off track, because reputation-based RPG elements to it, which I think it should just be, hey, run a shop. Enjoy running a shop.
I don't know, but I think that's really exciting.
How long can you go? And
maybe there's not a visible reputation system. It's literally, if you complete this path of this quest line, then these quests open up instead. If you complete this part of the quest line, then these part quests open up. And I think in the same way as Papers, Please works, right? There's a particular person that comes in that's like, got a mask on, and he's got like this weird sigil that he shows you, and is like, do you know what this means? You're like, no. But if you did a certain quest earlier on, there's a guy that's like, hey, if you see this guy, you have to let him in because he's part of this shady organization or whatever.
Sure. Right.
And there's loads of different little paths that you can take. I think there's like 12 endings to Papers, Please.
How does that work? Like, is it triggered by, is it just completely random who's going to come in at what time? Or are there certain event triggers for in Papers, Please, I mean?
It's done in a way where I think the starting person to open up the quest, that's guaranteed. Like there's that guy that comes in that has obviously got fake stuff, right? He's got a very obviously fake passport, and he's like this comedy character that comes in and he's got like a hand-drawn passport, or the next time he comes in and he hands in like something that's got tape over it and it's obviously faked. And if you let him in, you never see him again. I think he actually gives you a reward later on if you let him in early, because you feel sorry for the guy. And if you never let him in, then something else happens. I can't remember. But also the same as, the guy that comes in and says, gives you a badge of some shady organization. Then later on you see this guy come in. You're like, okay, earlier on this dude said to let this guy in. Should I do it? Should I not do it? It has this effect on Arstotzka, which is the town in Papers, Please.
Arstotzka,
And so maybe there's things like that happen. Like
do you know there's a reference? Yeah. Sorry, completely off track, but there's a reference to that in Uncharted 4, they mention Arstotzka.
Do they?
Yeah, it's just like a little nod to Papers, Please. I think because one of the creative directors knows Lucas Pope. I really like the idea of the having those like little quick, like in Papers, Please, right? Your main objective is to just, it's for the glory of Arstotzka, right? You're just trying to make sure that the right people get in, the wrong people stay out.
We're keeping your family alive as well.
Yeah. That's the thing. You can make money to keep, you can also like upgrade your apartment and stuff.
So what if with this, it was like, you're just trying to make a living. You're trying to keep the shop going. And the things that are stopping you are like, what if there were certain factions that like you have the Assassin's Guild and the Merchant's Guild and the King, the castle guard and stuff, and they all have certain requests for you that will conflict with these different guilds. And maybe some of them won't even like, they'll be like, if they know that you're making stuff for the Assassin's Guild, the King's Guards aren't going to want to buy from you, and you might even get in trouble with them.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think it can go one of two ways in terms of like the out of day sort of after selling thing. It's either in Papers, Please style, the money that you make from doing these requests keeps your shop afloat. Maybe there's, you know, you can decide, I'm going to buy 200 golds worth of this ingredient, but that will leave me in a really shaky state for the next day. Maybe I won't be able to afford the next day and keep the shop open. Yeah. And the game ends if you don't. Or maybe it's just assumed that the shop makes enough to carry on, and these are the special requests you're fulfilling. The game can end early if you progress too far down a particular quest line and the King's Guard come along and they're like, you're shutting your shop because you've been helping. You're arrested. You've been arrested.
You're a heretic.
So maybe that works quite well.
Come in and get you.
Yeah.
Because if you decide to take on, I think if you have a day-to-day sales limit amount that you sell, right? And you can always fulfill those quite easily. But I think if you do the thing where you choose to take on extras, that's where you start getting, you have to make decisions, because you're like, okay, I'm going to take on all these. And you're like, oh shit, I haven't got enough time to actually do. Then I have to decide which ones to do and what the repercussions of not doing those certain ones might be.
Yeah.
Because there is a sense of like, you're like, oh, I can do this. And then it becomes a bit more like a... kind of feeds on greed a little, and you're like, oh, I can do this easily, that's fine, we'll get this done. And then all of a sudden you're like, ah, oh, shit. And then you now have to pay for the actions of, you know, the repercussions for the actions of,
but what, why
saying yes
greedy
to everyone?
Like, what's the point in being greedy in
so
this
I
game
think,
why
because you might
so
want to upgrade
gold?
Something and you need to do, you want to like get more shelving space.
Maybe it's
more,
not greed, but it's like, if you don't fulfill at least one of the tasks, if you don't help one of the factions, then you'll be disliked by everybody and you won't get any jobs, you won't get
maybe,
any money coming
maybe
in.
At the start of the game, like I see your point, if you don't have to manage the day-by-day sales and stuff, and the shop is just kept afloat regardless of whether you accept none or all of the requests, maybe early on it's literally opening up with the Assassin's Guild and they're like, right, help us or we're going to kill you. And you're forced into help starting these special requests, and you're then forced to start, kind of dig yourself out of this hole that you've put yourself into. Or it's the opposite way around. Maybe the king comes along and is like, you are forced by decree to help us. And then you're forced to complete his special requests. And maybe other people come along and they're saying, okay, if you're completing special requests for this, maybe you can offset that by doing this instead. Whatever, maybe there's something that forces you into
it. What if magic's been banned? What if it's like you're a bootlegger for magic?
It's the black magic black market.
The black market potion seller.
And so you've got to do all these things in secret, and just the goal is to stay not detected, I guess. Don't really know how that would work, but it is quite I want to make the title of the game Bootslegger and work backwards from there.
Nice.
Bootslegger.
Bootslegger.
Like a bootlegger, but with the word boots in
plus
it.
Plus bootlegger.
Wait, what's
Boots Pharmacy?
Oh, for God's
word,
sake.
And the word
so it's
bootlegger.
Okay, we're back on boots.
We're back on boots. That's awful. No.
And you guys all looked at me in disgust when I said pharmacist. So back that up.
I think black market potion seller, that's something you can do. You could, or you could be a noble or like a royal, you know, army armorer. Like, what is that?
Yeah, there must be some potions that are illegal, right, to make.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are some things that you can't do. And maybe if, like, by helping the king's faction, like, the more you help them, there's a certain limit that's like, okay, you do this much with them, then you don't pay tax, or you get a discount on tax. You know what I mean? You're not having, like, you don't have to worry about that side of gold. And if you annoy them, then all of a sudden you're having to pay a shitload of tax again. And
what if you can just make drugs?
Maybe.
So like you get the local addict in and he's like, can you hook me up?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, okay, yeah. Because then we can literally just call the game Super Drug, because you're both a pharmacist.
Oh, for
God's
sake.
And also you make super drugs.
No.
And you can get your pictures.
I'd like to clarify that Super Drug is a chain of pharmacies in the UK.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Maybe when like the Thieves Guild come in, they're like, I need you to make me a potion that can make me invisible. And if you make one that's 80% efficiency, then there's an 80% chance that they'll be caught.
It's just still visible.
Well, no, maybe there's
80%
like
a transparency.
80% chance they'll get caught. And when they get caught, maybe the town crier the next morning, they're like, okay, this type of potion is now banned. So you're so
partially
then the thieves
invisible
guild come
man,
in.
Right.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So the
yeah,
thieves guild
the
then come in.
Maybe the town crier is giving you a list of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they say, right, we need another invisibility potion, but you need to now make something different because you fucked up the last one. Like you messed up. And now you have to make a different type.
Could
maybe it's harder.
Could it be slightly more general than that? So they're not asking for an invisibility potion. They're just asking, they want a potion to not be seen. But
yeah,
they want a stealth potion.
They give you the
and
outline
you have to
of their mission.
How to do that.
And you're like, okay, we'll give you this, this, and this. And I guess there's, you know, 15 different potions that could work. And you make one of them. And that sort of progresses it. Or maybe there's different results.
I guess that's like a doctor then, isn't it? They're coming to you and saying, I've got this problem. Please help me. And then you're prescribing them with and making certain medications.
So you're a fantasy
them,
GP.
Fantasy GP. Yeah. Sorry, James, you were going to say something?
No, I can't remember now. It's like just thinking about fantasy GPs.
But yeah. Also, I think the in-between day, I think this is like the important thing to get the difficulty correct or the balance correct is at the end of the day, you then look through your list and maybe it gets to a point, say day five, you've then got 15 requests and there are 15 different deadlines and you're on day five. There's a request that needs to be finished by day six. So you're like, I have to get these ingredients in now. Or maybe there's certain ingredients that take a week to come in. Maybe there's certain ingredients that take a month to come in or they're more expensive if you get them quicker. So I think that's the balance is like the requests have to give you enough gold to be worthwhile. They also have to be have a decent enough time span for you to be able to feasibly complete it. But also, if you focus on this big task, then all these small tasks are thrown to the wayside because it's impossible to complete them because of this one big task you're focusing
on. So is it that you've got your cauldron or your potion brewing area and then right next to it or above it, you have a calendar with stamped deadlines of like, this is when this is going to happen. This is what I need to finish this by. And every time you're going to your brew, your potions, you're looking up and being like, okay, I know when this is happening. I have to make this for this date. And you're making calls that are then going to impact the rest of the game.
Yeah. And it's not possible to complete every task in one game.
Yeah.
Like it's impossible. And also, you know, that's the calendar that is showing you the hard stuff you know, like because people have told you them. But in the mornings you go out, see the town crier and he's giving off these like vague hints of things, of these events that are coming. So you're also kind of like, yeah, this guy has requested this thing, but also the town crier was talking about, you know, this other thing that could happen. So maybe I also try and prepare for a potential of that based on these rumors that you hear as well.
I see, yeah. Which you might get a lot of money from that, but it's a total risk because it might not happen at all.
I feel like there's a lot to it. It feels like there might be a lot, or maybe it's just a case that it's going to be hard to balance, but also coming up with, you know, 100 different stories for 100 different clients and 100 different requests.
I think that's fine. Like, I don't think that, like, I actually don't think for it's quite rare for us, but we haven't actually gone, as far as I'm concerned anyway, too crazy. We haven't ballooned or like creeped into something that feels unmanageable or impossible. It feels like it's still quite focused. Chris is pulling a face. He completely disagrees.
The branching storylines was where it ballooned.
Not branching necessarily, but like you're still having like, I mean, like, yes, Your Grace does that totally fine. You're just, it's
yes,
just
Your
literally
Grace
like
is that whole, that's the game. This is, Yes, Your Grace isn't a game where you own a shop, have to make potions and
yeah, but what's the
run
difference?
A
like it's that, but you're just difference? Making potions as well, right?
Yeah, but the game is story heavy by design. You're just making choices along the way, right? The story's playing out. Anyway, in this, it's the main loop
similar?
Is you're a fantasy GP giving out prescriptions to orcs and elves. It's not like, it's not a story. I wouldn't say it was a story game. The same way Shopkeep's not a story game, but there are like mini story elements to it that like have little narratives.
But I feel like that's what makes like what's what could make it so cool is that you have like these overarching.
I'm not saying it's not cool. Like, I'm just saying to say it's threads. Not a ballooned and large idea. I think is
no,
right.
But I feel like it's I don't know.
Huge.
But like having the normal like potion making stuff, like being the alchemist, and then also having these little stories that like, you know, you're starting to like, maybe that there's like, I don't know, the kingdom is at war, or there's something happening in the throne room. You know, there's like the Assassin's Guild are going to like right at the beginning of the guild, the game, the Assassin's Guild assassinate the king, and somehow you become involved in that. And just like little story beats throughout the game. I do
like the allegiance factor, though. I do like that you could decide to go. So it's really only two direct. I mean, depending on the micro stories that come in, you know, they might just be the same type of thing with different character. You know, it's going to be. I'm sure there's going to be repeat prescriptions, as it were. but you know, it's just characters. Could be quite granular. It could be just like, is this good or is this good? You know, there's two routes to go down.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of requests that don't balloon into, you know, 100 story arcing mega campaigns. But, you know, it's a character heavy, like this character comes in and a lot of people remember this character because he's really funny, or he's got like this really odd request, or maybe he's the only guy in the game that requests something to stop his dick and balls from being so inflamed.
They're massive. He can't get through the door.
But
yeah,
I
think maybe that's it. Maybe I'm like I'm describing or like character heavy. I think that's how you described it initially. I think that makes a lot of sense.
How do you imagine this looking, Tom? Is this first person?
I was about to ask that. Person? Yeah,
that's
shopkeep for me.
I think I'm not really sure the term. I feel like first person, but it's not that you're walking around looking around. I feel like it's just done in screens, right? Like you move across to the next room and you've got the table,
like
the cauldron.
Point and click.
In a way, it's almost like a menu system, right? Like you click the arrow to the right, that takes you to the back room.
Right. to the right.
It takes you to the right. And there you've got your table, you've got your cauldron. You click on the cauldron, you zoom into the cauldron, you make some potions. You click on the calendar, you are looking at the calendar. And then when you go to the counter, maybe people come in through the door. Maybe it's just a text adventure. Well, not text eventually, but maybe it's just text on the screen. Like the entire screen sort of darkens out. You've got text and then it just describes the stuff as it happens. A guy walks in. He's got tattered robes. He can't get through the door because his dick and balls are too big.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been there.
I want to see that. I want to see that.
You want to see it?
It's
okay.
Got the artwork, yeah.
But maybe it's as simplistic as that. Maybe it's just, you
Phoenix
just
Wright
click on the things. Yeah,
anime,
in a way.
Yeah, people. Coming in.
Yeah, like Fire Emblem, like just portraits of the people as you see them. And it's as simplistic as that. And I feel like that is definitely unique for us because normally we're making AAA graphics games.
why aren't the potions just cards? No, I'm not dead.
Do you have a sanity meter?
No.
Oh my god, maybe
a potionometer.
Look, you can't complete every task in one game, so you have to do multiple runs.
Oh,
is this technically a roguelike?
It's a boots-like.
Do you make the
pharmacy
the time potion so you can go back and try again if you fuck up?
Oh, how
James.
Does that work? You
James,
can't just
James.
I just put a clock in a cauldron.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I feel like graphically it's very
simplistic.
He's
done that thing again where he said one thing that's gotten Tom really excited.
It happens every episode.
Well, normally it's about murder. So, I mean, you know, time travel's a bit better.
The past couple have been a bit murdery, haven't they?
They've been a bit murdery. That's exactly.
Coming to the end of game development, maybe I'm a bit on edge, you know?
Yeah.
So we still don't have a name for this episode. I feel like...
I was talking about coming to the end.
We need to wrap up, but we need a name.
We need
everyone just rattle off. I've said harmacists.
Okay,
pharmacy.
We all say one word at the same time, and it's going to be a four-word title, but maybe we can grind that down into one. So, okay. It's going to sound awful, but 3, 2, 1, super.
Alchemy.
General.
Super Alchemy General.
Alchemy General.
I want general potions.
What about if you are a military pharmacist and you're super general Al and his last name is Kemi? There you go. You play as Super General Alchemy. And you are
the Super
a
General, colon, Alchemy.
Alchemy.
The Harmacist.
Alchemy the Harmacist.
Alchemy the Harmacist. Fuck off.
I mean, I love that.
Fuck you, Chris.
Yeah. I'm done.
That's the title of the episode. It's almost definitely not the title of the
Super
game.
Super General Al.
Super General Al. Alchemy the Harmacist.
Not general potions. That shortens nicely. GPs.
GPs.
General potions. I like that.
Something of sundries.
Well, the title of the episode is Alchemy the Harmacist. The title of the game is either GP General Potions or unnamed as of yet working title.
Nice. James, play / make.
Yeah, definitely play.
Definitely play. No, the pauses.
God, that was like Justin Trudeau when he was asked a question from Trump. Remember?
It's like
22 seconds delay.
James didn't know. It's like James didn't know for the whole episode that question was coming. It's like, well, that came out of nowhere.
Do you know what?
Hang on, I'm going to need a minute.
I've forgotten that's a thing. Yes, right. It's the thing we do every time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I would definitely play it. It sounds like fun. Make it, yeah. I think I would make it. It's kind of hard because this the art style, you know, that sort of very painterly anime sort of
it's not very glam
style. It's not very
glam anime.
It's not very me. But the menu system, I could see that being really fun to design, and you know, the ways that you could see the potions mixing together. I think, yeah, that gives me plenty to do. So, would
perfect.
Would make
wow a double yes, Chris.
Yeah. Well, what we'll do is we'll make it so you can possess any object and you can roll them into each other. Now, hear me out. This
that
might be crazy.
Awful.
Potion club.
Wow, did we talk too much about Glurp earlier? Do you want to give a spot for brunch club?
No.
Okay.
So what's going on?
He's jealous. He's like a child.
Brunch club's great too. Please go buy a brunch club. It's probably on discount at some point when you're
club.
Hearing this. I'm sure it will be.
It's not.
We'll put it on discount.
It's great advice.
How are you feeling? Play, make? Are you excited about this? I feel like you're not too excited about this one, Chris. I'm surprised.
I just said that wasn't a joke. I was just saying I would make it, but then I was joking about making the stuff move. That was me actually. That was me being genuine.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like this is more
unusual for me for once. And I would play. I play Shopkeep. I like Shopkeep. I play Papers, Please. Like Papers, Please. I like Alchemy. You know, I like the idea of it. And I've been to.
That's where you've
got all those potions
around.
I've been in a lot of boots pharmacists. No.
Yeah.
I've always thought this would make a great game.
We can turn a game. Yeah, turn
if
into
only
a
this
game.
Old coughing man was an orc.
Can you get a meal deal in our potion shop?
Yeah,
that's the main.
Yeah,
thing.
You can
a healing
get a
potion and also a packet of crisps and a smoothie.
Yeah,
for $3.
I think this is the best idea you've had since Dungeon Daddy.
Really?
I think it's great.
I think it's one of the only ideas because we've had so many guests.
Oh yeah, true. maybe
so
that's
what you're
the
saying
case. But also, I feel like
all my ideas are good.
This conversation has been quite focused, and I think the reason, well, I say for comparatively, compared to all the shit we usually talk about, but because I think that there's so much potentially in this game that we don't have to go crazy and go outside the scope of like what you initially started with. I think having a character-focused shop game is
I think it's
just
the most
really
complete game that we've had. Like, I can really visualize it with that, you know, screen by screen, main menu sort of, not main menu style navigation, and then the requests and the calendar. Like, I can see it, and I feel like the only thing that's outstanding, really, that we haven't really talked about is the potion making. Like, we won't get into it because it's the end of the podcast, but I feel like normally we have a feature that we sort of mention and then we just, this is in the game. It's a roguelike now. But yeah, we've actually got a relatively complete pitchable game.
And I think if you're saying cooking mama and comparing that to the potion making, like we've already got
a
base to start from.
We had potion mama.
So what was the name again? Sorry, Chris.
Well, why didn't we use Potion Mama? That was great at the start. But no, we're general potions. Also, do you play as Super General Alchemy?
You came
I didn't know if that was the character's name. I didn't know if that was his name and title. Alchemy Harmacist.
Alchemy Harmacist. Very positive all round. I would play it. In fact, I want to see it made. I would love to see it made.
I'd love to see this.
Please, if anyone can make it, contact us on, what's our Twitter, Tom?
Our Twitter is at PutchPlusPod. Pitch, please, without the vowels. Pod with the vowel. If you like the idea, right, let us know. If you are going to make it, let us know.
Like that person did with John Quick.
Yeah. John Quick.
Yeah, maybe we'll see another one else. Holy shit, thank you very much for listening. Thanks, guys. As always, the four of us will be back next week. See you then.
See you later.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Boy. I saw you literally just open up Siege. It just popped up as you were saying goodbye.
Yeah. Wow.